Well, hello and welcome, listeners and Patreon subscribers, to the 9-8 Podcast, the home of everything progressive and underground right here in Australia. My name is David Ellis, and as usual, every week, every fortnight, whatever it is, the wonderful man from the Western Coast, Mr. Alex Hogg, joins me on the line to talk about all things prog. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Yeah, you know, not too bad. It's been a bit of a crappy weather over the last few days here in Sydney, and today is of no difference. It's all rainy, and, you know, La Nina is clearly here in full force.
Is it? Because over here, nice. We've just got hot weather. It's 34 degrees today. It's delightful.
Well, 34 is not too bad.
Yeah, could be worse.
Yeah, it could be 34 and humid like it gets here every summer in Sydney.
Delightful.
Sounds
anyway.
Feels like 55 fucking degrees. Anyway, let's jump into some stuff. Now, you've got some follow-up here for us, Hoggy.
Yeah, well, last week we spoke about Fisher's brand new album, Velchments. There was a tour that was scheduled off the back of this that has already been postponed once, and now it has been straight up cancelled, mainly because there's been huge outbreaks through all of England, up in Scotland as well. So unsurprisingly, the whole thing has been cancelled because they just don't know what's going to be happening in 6 months' time with this pandemic.
No, it's really turned a lot of industries on its head, this thing.
It sure has. I mean, it's just being trying to be able to predict what's going on. Like, people trying to, they want to know whether they can open, whether they can close, what they should be doing. And you've got, you know, I mean, have you seen what's going on in America at the moment? It's just like tens of thousands of new cases every day. It's not so much a second wave as it is a goddamn tsunami.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happens when you have people who pretend that they're immune, who are leaders of the world.
Or who just think that they're constantly turning a corner and have been for the last 6 months.
Yeah, it's a really big corner. In actual fact, they've done a 180. It's such a long corner at this point, which is pretty scary, to say the least. We're doing okay here in New South Wales. Victoria now has had no new cases overnight for the first time in months, which is great to see. Obviously, Queensland, WA. I mean, there's been some footage from the WA shows that Carnival are currently putting on, and that looks awesome. Just looks like standard, you know, gig going etiquette.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, everything here in Western Australia is to a first approximation back to normal, except for the fact that we have the border with the rest of the world and the border with the rest of Australia. So it's kind of like isolation, but just on a statewide scale.
That's right. I know a lot of West Australians like that anyway.
Yes, they do.
So is that all we've got for follow-up? Is the fish?
That is all we have for follow-up. So we shall jump into the news. And as we alluded to in follow-up, there have been a whole bunch of tour announcements that have been made. But
Festival announcements too.
Yeah, tour announcements, festival announcements. Marillion are coming back around on tour again at the end of next year. But given what we just discussed in the follow-up, I don't really feel like talking about any of them, to be honest.
I don't think there's really much point because we don't know if they're going to continue on.
I don't think any of them are going to happen. No. I mean, with the way things are going, I'd be very surprised. I mean, I know the Marillion one, a lot of people are buying tickets for it. Because there's like full protections and full refunds will ensue if the whole thing falls over. But I don't know. I just find myself thinking none of this stuff's going to happen. It'd be really nice to get really excited about all the tours and stuff. But here we are 7 or 8 months or whatever we are into this pandemic. And I finally, as the person who lives in, you know, one of the safest parts of the world in this pandemic at the moment, you know, I'm just like, you know what? I just don't feel like talking about these anymore.
Absolutely. And you know what? There was actually an article I read the other day on the ABC about insurances and such. And these insurances, you know, the pandemic cover and such like that, some of them were taken out, particularly most notably Bluesfest took out insurance, pandemic and a communicable disease cover and things like that because there was a gastro outbreak or something. So they got covered, but it should be noted that it was coverage for the people who held tickets, not all of the other crazy stuff that goes into putting on, you know, a $20 or $30 million festival show.
So it covers people with tickets. It doesn't cover the venue staff, anyone in the concession stands, anyone.
Yeah, that's what it looks
crew,
like.
I'm guessing as well.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So, you know, a lot of these festivals have been trying to hold out as long as they can so they don't have to cancel and give money back to people or try and claw money back to people and all that kind of stuff, which is totally fine and totally fair. And I understand that, particularly when insurance companies are not stepping up and, you know, doing their job as insurance companies.
What are insurance companies? Their insurance companies aren't in it for you. They're always in it for the profits.
Of course. Well, they're private. The ultimate capitalist private enterprise, right? Give them money, and if something bad happens, I might give you something back.
Well, there's been plenty of cases where insurance companies have found their way to wiggle their way out of having to pay for just about anything.
Yep. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. But no, I agree with you. I mean, should we even bother talking about any of these things? I don't think so until we've got a much clearer path to recovery, which is probably, let's be honest, only going to happen once a vaccine is announced.
Even then, I don't think
actually announced, not just used by Putin on his daughter.
Yeah, and, you know, who knows whether that was actually real or not anyway. But I don't know. I just don't know what to, like, all these things are happening. Like I get the idea from the tour companies. They're trying to kind of generate interest and generate some revenue for themselves. You know, I wonder if it's not a simple case of like trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. Announce a festival, do a tour in a thing, and then use that money to then pay the refunds of the other ones they have to try and fix.
Exactly. It's just a bit. Yeah, it's a bit ho hum, isn't it?
So, I mean, there wasn't one other piece. There's a couple of other pieces of news that came up this week. I mean, one of the big ones that happened inside this country was that the festival hall in Melbourne has been sold, and they have found a new buyer. Who's the new buyer, Dave?
Oh, it's one of Scott Morrison's best friends, the wonderful Hillsong Church, paid $23 million for festival hall in Melbourne, despite the fact, of course, that they apparently can't pay tax. They're too poor to pay tax. But they paid $23 million.
Come on. They're not too poor to pay tax. They're just completely exempt from it because the magic's
that's right, because they're a church. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I just thought they were a touring company for Christian rock musicians.
That's actually a really good way of putting it. So unfortunately, our festival hall has been bought.
Well, they say they're going to keep it for gigs and stuff, but on Sundays they're going to turn it into one of their mega churches.
Yeah, but
I'd be very surprised if that actually happens.
It probably won't. I mean, if you look at the way that they've designed a lot of their other churches, it's sort of this, and a lot of those AOG guys do the same. I know Shire Live, whatever Shire Live is now called here in Sydney, does the same thing as well. It's very much the stage is not so much a stage as it is a platform that you can kind of step up onto that maybe is, you know, a step or two. So I can't see that meeting any kind of legal requirement for staging and such here in Australia, and barricades and security areas and photographer pits and all that kind of stuff. Not to mention it's also completely and utterly seated. There's no standing area. I can't see it working. So, you know, yeah, and if Hillsong own it, do you really think that they're going to let people use that room who are anti the church, you know, anything like the atheists, all that kind of stuff? Do you really think they're going to let them do it? No, of course not. They're going to look into it and go, oh, well, we have a brand to protect, and then they're just going to, you know, ignore that.
That'll be fine. You just won't be allowed to criticize them on the stage. Which is probably even worse, but anyway.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a violation of free speech.
Right to free speech, not right to free consequences of that speech.
Exactly. And you would never have an argument with me on that one. Freedom of speech, not freedom from consequence, as you have said numerous times. But anyway, we'll see. We'll keep our ears to the ground with that and see what happens. I mean, probably nothing's going to happen for a little while with the state of the industry. But
yeah, I was going to say, especially in Victoria, I mean, they're the ones with the most strict lockdowns.
Mm. So, yeah, so we'll, I suppose we'll see exactly what happens with, you know, Festival Hall and who will be able to play there. You know who I reckon will be able to play there, though? I reckon Dream Theater will be able to play there because, let's be honest, John Petrucci basically looks like Jesus. And I'm speaking of, he's got his new Nebula Signature Series. Have you seen this?
Well, yes, but before we start, it was like, these are not guitars.
No.
These are not amps. It's not a pedal.
Ooh.
This is like facial hair accessories and beard oil. Who'd have thought that John Petrucci would get it on the hipster racket and start and market a series of beard oil?
The hipster rack. I don't know. I think it's really, 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 really interesting that he's done this. Now, this brings a very interesting question. This is the part of the show that we have actually cut out for our after show. So if you are a Patreon subscriber, jump along to our Patreon after you've listened to this episode and have a listen to what we have to say about this. It covers a whole bunch of different things. It's quite interesting. So yeah, check that out. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber and you would love to listen to it, it's about $3 a month to become a Patreon subscriber, and you go a little bit of the way to helping us to keep the show on the air. We'll see you at our Patreon, hopefully. Otherwise, back to the episode. Moving on, we do have one final piece of news, and that is that we're going to be appearing on another podcast, Hoggy.
Yes, we are. We're going to be appearing on the podcast that we mentioned in last week's show, actually, Drop That Stylus. The two of us are going to be there. What are we going to be talking about, Dave?
Well, with the recent death of Eddie Van Halen, very tragic, very sad, we are going to be talking all about Eddie Van Halen's songs and some songs that mean a lot to us with the guys from Drop That Stylus as well. So it's going to be a really, really interesting podcast because we're going to be dragging up some shit that you've probably never heard. And I think it's actually going to be really interesting to hear Hoggy and I riff on something that neither of us are really... We're not super duper well versed in the world of Eddie Van Halen, actually.
Yeah,
I was
going to say, neither of us are massive Eddie Van Halen super fans. Mm. We were kicking around the idea of covering like a Marillion album or something, but I'm like, and then this came up as a topic from the other guys, and we're like, hey, this sounds like fun. Let's do that instead.
Yeah, so it's going to be really, really interesting. It's going to go live, I think, in a couple of weeks' time. Obviously, stay tuned to our socials and such, and we'll let you know exactly when that drops, but it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
So I think that about wraps it up for the news.
Absolutely.
So we're going to jump into our main topic this week's episode, and that is the West Australian prog metal superstars Chaos Divine's new record, Legacies.
Yes, good. Now, we've been waiting for this album.
Yes, we have.
Like,
we spoke to, well, put it this way. I interviewed David Anderton, who was the lead singer of this band, 2 years ago when they were in the middle of writing this record. Now, there's been a couple of things that have been going on in their lives that have delayed the recording of this record. Several members of the band have become parents for the first time, which I imagine would put a crimp in anyone's style of writing and recording music.
I imagine so. But, I mean, to give you an idea, we saw the False Flags played for the first time in Sydney at that Progfest show. So, you know, I mean, that's how long ago this was. And False Flags is one of the tracks on this album. It's been a long road to getting to this album, and it's been worth the wait.
Oh, absolutely. So let's jump in and go track by track on this record. Let's start with the first song, Instincts.
Yes.
Now, what do you think, though?
Look, first up, straight away, there's a crazy good Opeth vibe coming through. You know, the chords that they use, the tones, the rhythms, all that kind of stuff, everything involved in that, the works. And the melodic solo that's in this first track as well, it's absolutely fantastic. It's a great intro track for the album. And lyrically, it's brilliant as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. This is as a lead-off song. It's got that great groove to start the song, and I thought it was a fantastic lead-off for the album. It's like, yeah, I'm right here for this album. Mm. Then we get into the lyrics as well, and I'm not really sure what this song's about. What do you think? What do you get from this lyric?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, if I was reading into it, given current world things going on and such, I would say it could possibly be about someone who's finally kind of had enough and is standing up against all this bullshit that's currently going on. You know, without a care, I walk through the thunder, throw caution to the wind, and how I fare, no, it matters not to me, inconsequential consequence kind of thing. It's like, no, I'm finally taking a stand and whatever happens to me happens to me. You know, but there are parts of this where you can probably look at it from a different perspective, and it could be about, you know, the rise of white supremacy, for example. You know, the rewrite has begun. I will lose to win this fight. No white flag, though my back is against the wall kind of thing. You know, it could be looked at from that perspective. But it's the lyrics are fantastic, although I haven't the foggiest as to what they're about.
You're probably right there. There probably is some element to that of just like standing up for what you believe in sort of thing.
Mm,
mm. I mean, David mentioned on the interview, I mean, I don't think it's any great secret that he's a big sort of left wing kind of guy. So
boasting his Ozar, mate.
Not all, you'd be surprised. And in this day and age, I guess you've got to stand up for something, otherwise you'll fall for anything. Are you right?
Mm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, it could be... my dad's got a friend who has issues with his friends because he can't convince them about global warming, right? And this reads to me about someone who maybe has been trying to fight the good fight for example, global warming, climate change, all that kind of stuff, but is just constantly getting yelled down by, you know, Murdoch media and now the three main leaders in the world, let's be really honest. At least of the Western world, you know, Australia, USA, and the UK, all basically right-wing nut jobs. So, you know, maybe he's this character, the protagonist in this particular case, is, you know, trying to enact change but realizing it's fruitless, etc., you know, but is trying to do what he can and isn't ruling anything out and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It is extremely ambiguous.
Yeah, I guess the other thing, the other element to add to that as well, I guess would be like, well, there's a line in there, I will bleed for my bloodline. So he's thinking about, you know, what's coming for the next generation, which is the theme that will come up throughout this record. Like what's coming for the next generation?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we move on to the next track, No Saviour, Rise and Fall. What did you think of this one, Dave?
What's crazy about this, we're into track two now, and it's the lack of gain on the guitars, which is a very Opeth thing, right? Opeth very rarely use a whole bunch of high-end gain. They're very clean considering the genre. Now, my question is whether or not this is going to become a problem a little bit later. You know, particularly growly kind of stuff. And these guys have got a little bit of a sort of Australian metalcore-y kind of thing going as well, in that some of their, dare I say, poppier kinds of songs, the shorter ones and so on and so forth, can sometimes lean toward that sort of melodic metalcore kind of thing, which if they're running this amount of gain, not sure whether or not that's going to work.
Work in what way? Just musically or work in a live setting?
Musically. Musically. Okay. I know these guys can do shit live. I've seen them live. They're incredible. but live tones are not necessarily album tones, so I separate those out. However, with this particular song, the sing-along chorus is awesome, and I can also tell you from a fact that it's a great song to run and gym to. And there's a really, really nice little slide solo sitting under the mix that's really, really neat after about the three-minute mark. Sort of sitting underneath the vocals and all that. It's actually quite nice. I really liked it. It's a great track. What do you think?
Yeah, is like you said, there's that great chorus in there, which I think will go very, very well live. Lyrically, I think it sort of flows along from the first track on this record where we're talking about you know, bring forth the storms of acid rain, drawing up plans to stay the coming end of days. So, again, we're talking about environmental problems. We're talking about that. You know, we're talking about sort of green thing. You know, we're trying to, you know, we've got the end of the world coming and we're trying to sort of get in front of it and fix it, I guess. You know, fear the fate, civilization undone, will we be washed away, end of days written all over the wall, the writing's on the wall. Fairly obvious what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's the part that confuses me is the part after that where it says, rise and fall, bring down the walls of Jericho. You can't break the sense of vertigo. Bring forth the storms of acid rain, drawing up plans to stay the coming end of days. So is that basically sort of saying, you know, Jericho, obviously the famous walled city, you know, is that like where he's talking about, you know, the top 1% kind of people are living, bring that down and start again? Is that sort of what the idea is here? I don't know.
Could be. Very good point.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. Track 3, Unspoken. What do you think?
I really like this. There's a couple of these first three songs are very heavy and very sort of big riffs and that sort of thing. And there's a bit of the metalcore sort of thing going on here. Actually, side point, I was listening to this song with my wife, and her phone thought this was an Avenged Sevenfold song.
Ah, very interesting.
Couldn't tell you which one because it just sort of quickly flashed up from like Shazam and then moved on to something else. So there is that sort of kind of metalcore vibe to this song.
Definitely.
And again, the lyrics, you know, breathe in, breathe out and smolder. I keep repeating the storyline, a paradigm of shame. This time, like last time, I'm still here.
And so, I love the way he sings this.
Oh, yeah.
Like the rhythmic notion of how he sings this is just amazing. You know, that breathe in, breathe out and smolder. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And, I mean, David's got an incredible voice. goes up like that in that beautiful voice that he's got, and then he just goes down into that real guttural, screamy stuff. How he does, I have no fucking idea.
I'm fairly sure I asked him about it when I interviewed him. I was like, how do you do that, man? I think it's just like, you know, lots of vocal warm-ups and that sort of thing. Because it's all like in some of these bands, you know, the growling and the cleans are done by two different people. Nope, it's all him.
Yep, absolutely. I mean,
there's some backing vocals, you know, sort of, you know, done by other members of the band, but all the main vocals are all him. So it's like, how in the world he does the growl and then going from clean to growls and then back to clean again? I don't know.
I'm
guessing
either.
I
mean, obviously a lot of practice and a lot of tea, I would say. But it's a great song, and it screams Australian.
Yeah.
You know? It's a very Australian sound to and this whole album's got a very Australian kind of prog sound. I think Australia has a really unique prog sound to it, particularly the shit that comes out of Perth.
What I was going to say is, I wonder if this Australian sound's got anything to do with the work mixing, mastering by Forrester Savile. I wonder how much of that, this sort of Australian sound, is actually just him and his sort of attitudes to mixing.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the low gain thing is traditionally a Forrester Savile thing too. But, again, the low gain thing, I'm going to come back to that a little bit later. Track 4, Only Son.
This is a very nice change of pace from all the relentlessness of the last couple of songs on the record. Now, obviously, this song is a statement about parenthood in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we mentioned at the top here, it's something that various members of the band have started to go into in their life, becoming parents for the first time or sometimes the second time. So there's definitely a sort of a sense of what are we leaving behind for them, you know, sort of living for them in a certain way. And there's no real hiding. I mean, there's some sort of allegorical things in some of the lyrics on this record, but this definitely isn't one of them. This is a fairly straightforward, you know, this is what we're here for, this is what we're doing sort of song.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You've hit everything that I was going to say with it. You know, it's a great breakup too from the energy of the first couple of tracks into this one. And it doesn't really go to any lengths to hide what's going on in the lyrics at all.
So we'll move along to the next song, Guarding Gravity. What do you think of this one, Dave?
Again, riffy as shit, right? You know, the riffs are just gorgeous. And a lot of use of, like, add nine chords. Guitarists out there will know what I'm talking about. But that's a hark back to, like, Linkin Park and... You know, for me, Story of the Year and all those guys who use those quite a lot. It's just absolutely fantastic. I think one of the strengths of this band is to take solos and lead lines as well, exactly where you think they'll go, but not have the listener disappointed. So, you know, sometimes I think prog bands get sucked into this idea of, well, I think the solo should go here, but then someone will listen to it and go, ah, it sounds predictable. You know, make it do something else. And I do that with my solos and so on and so forth. When I write them, I'll do something and then I'll go, oh, no, it sounds a bit too predictable. Okay, I'll change it and I'll do this and that. And I write some good stuff because of that. But these guys seem to write stuff that the solos and the lead lines and such go exactly where you want them to in your brain. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And it's awesome. You know, it's just, it's great. Lyrically though, with this one, I'm racking my brains to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, me too. I was reading through the lyrics. I was listening to the song. I'm just like, what is this about? What are we talking about here?
I think maybe, I mean, guarding gravity. Gravity is an assurance, right? It's always there. So I wonder whether or not the idea behind the song is trying to guard things that are, or trying to protect things that are supposed to be universal for everyone.
It could be. I mean, salvation, a savior disavowed from the faintest foul. Break the dice before you get to roll. I'm guarding gravity.
Also, 10 points for that D&D reference there. Well done. but, you know, that whole
break
idea.
Break the dice before you get to roll. I'm guarding gravity. Maybe that's, maybe it's like, you know, protecting sort of universal ideals that we'd hope. Like, you know, everywhere you say, you know, everything's sort of the role. Maybe it's like a... I'm just trying to think, you know, sort of like Rush, roll the bones sort of thing. You know, why are we here? Because we're here sort of thing. Because we're here, roll the bones.
It could also be protecting the rules.
Yeah.
You know, because gravity like is a rule, essentially.
Yeah, or even just like, I'm just thinking like break the dice before you get to roll. So it's like a situation where almost like a, I don't want to put words in his mouth here, maybe like a socialist ideal. I know that's kind of a dirty word at the moment, socialism, but, you know, this sort of idea
that everybody... Get out and vote.
You know, everything's sort of like, you know, a roll of the dice sort of thing where you end up in life and all that. So if you break the dice before you get to roll, you're sort of ensuring that possibly everybody sort of starts from the same place.
It could be. It could also be the comment that, you know, other people have broken the dice before they get to roll, whereas this guy's trying to be the good, I'm using gaming analogy here, but the good DM and trying to embrace the rules. You know what I mean? Keep things fair.
Could very well be.
Could be. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Again,
that's part of the fun about dissecting the lyrics, though. I think it's like, what is this about? And then you sort of like, it could be this way, it could be that way.
And I like the best lyrics are the ones that are like that. One of my favorite bands is Steely Dan, as you know, and you know, some of their lyrics, I read them and I go, I've got no fucking idea where you dream that. Dreamed up that probably in a haze of drugs, but you know, really, really interesting lyrics. Fun story, fun fact actually. My dad got told that he shouldn't listen to a song by Steely Dan called Black Friday because it was about the rapture and the second coming of Christ and it's satanic and everything like that. It was about the stock market crash in 1928. But anyway.
Now this goes into like that whole PMRC thing. Oh, this song's about sex. No, it's not. It's not about sex at all.
And if you're reading into that, that says more about you than it does your daughter. So, you know.
Which is exactly what Dee Snider said during the PMRC hearings. It's like that, you know, you were looking for sex, you found sex. Mm. I wrote a song about going to the dentist. If you were looking for stuff about the dentist, you'd have found that too.
Moving on. Colors of War.
Now, this is an interesting placement for this record, for this song on this record. So, in this song, where it's the story of a small child that is growing up in a war, I'm guessing. I don't know what war, but a war. Mm-hmm. Seeing horrible things and then joining the side of the people to fight back and committing atrocities of their own. Mm-hmm. Interesting to juxtapose that song behind Guarding Gravity and Only Son.
Yep.
It's a very interesting sort of placement of that lyric trying to tell that story. Mm. And again, the mix of the clean and the growling vocals in this song is excellent. The growling vocals are really used to emphasize and sort of draw highlight to certain parts of the story.
Mm, absolutely. I think, remember earlier where I said that there's an issue with a lack of gain?
Uh-huh.
This is where it starts to come in. Yeah, and there's another track a little bit later as well. it's a really interesting placement, but with so much growly vocals and so on and so forth, I wanted a bit more oomph in the instrumental section, or in the instruments themselves. It made it a little bit – it didn't hit as hard as I would have liked. But I agree with you. Very interesting that it's juxtaposed here on the album rather than after Only Son. You know, there's a definite murder of a parent, you know, into this one. I mean, it's very much put in there. I mean, forced to witness his mother's grimace as they cut her just like meat.
Yeah.
I'm thinking things like, you know, what's going on, or what happens at the moment in places like South Africa, in a lot of African war-torn countries, Middle East, etc., where you've got these so-called freedom fighters and they're going in and basically just belting innocent people for no particular reason in the name of freedom.
I was thinking of was like an ISIS sort of thing where it's sort of like you know, they just go, these people don't belong to our particular things, we're just going to cut them up. You know, these sorts of, you know, dreadful occurrences around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the people, you know, the children that see that, that are influenced, how can you not be influenced by that, and either sign up with, either forced to sign up with them or sign up with an opposition force to join it, to join the fight against that.
And I mean, don't forget as well that a lot of this comes from countries that probably have no business being in that country doing shit.
Oh, you're talking about American imperialism again, are you?
Well, not necessarily American imperialism, but I mean, you know, it happened with the British, happened with the Belgians, happened with the French, Germans, you know, now the USA. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in a lot of different countries that you or I don't have to deal with because we are in a reasonably stable Western democracy. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of countries that have got a lot of blood on the floor because of other countries sticking their nose in where it shouldn't be.
Yes. Or trying to destabilize powers for their own interests.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, but an interesting track. I would have liked a little bit more gain on the guitars so you get a little bit more chuggy chug happening. Now, Beacon, the next track. We've spoken about this one before. We did it in a little bit of a follow-up prior, but overall, what did you think? I mean, I actually really liked it. A little bit more melodic and a little bit more kind of poppy side of thing, which I think these guys blend that pop and prog metal stuff really, really well.
Totally. I mean, they did more of the sort of pop melodic sort of thing on the previous record, and David mentioned that with this record that they were going to try and push it more towards the heavier end of things, which I definitely think they've achieved on this record, but it's still nice to hear some of that sort of melodic metal kind of almost pop influences on this record. You know, lyrically, you know, I want to touch the flame because I need to feel again. Everything is clouded by design. I mean, that's a statement right there. It's a very interesting thing to open a lyric with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's a great track. They released this one a little while back. We've already covered it. So we'll move on to False Flags. Now, we've seen this one live, but I don't think we've ever actually covered the song itself.
No, I don't think we have. I mean, this was the lead off, one of the lead off songs for this record that got released quite some time ago in the sort of lead up to this record. But yeah, I don't think we've ever actually talked about it specifically. But you know, the lyrics, I mean, fed down the line, chills down your spine. They're getting closer. This death machine. They're coming to take your liberty in a constant state of fear. Now, given current world events in America and other places, you don't have to kind of read tea leaves to work out what this lyric's about.
No, I don't think so. I think this one is obvious that it's about the false flag attacks and so on and so forth that have supposedly gone on around the world. You know, there are some people who believe that 9/11, for example, was a false flag. That's not the opinion of this podcast. It's not the opinion of this show. I'm just saying there are people out there who think that. So
I was going to say, you could even, because this song has been out for a little while, it sort of predates QAnon. Mm. We're not touching that fucking mess on this podcast either, but it kind of made me think about QAnon. In a weird sort of way, even though this lyric predates all that stuff by quite some time.
It just
sort of this idea of, you know, there's something coming to take you away. They're coming to, there's like the sort of powers unknown and unseen that are controlling everything, sort of thing.
Absolutely. But you know, it's a fantastic track. You know, and enjoy it. You should just enjoy listening to it. It's just a great track. And, you know, there's a lot of political stuff going on in this album, and this track is no stranger to that.
Totally. In fact, we're going to move into, there's a couple of songs one after the other on this record, and that False Flags are the first one. Mm. The next one, Dead Rivers Flow. I think there are sort of three sort of politically based songs, sort of one after the other. False Flags, Dead Rivers Flows, and then Behind the Seal. We'll get to that one in a minute. But Dead Rivers Flow is definitely, you know, a lot more, you know, it's in the atmosphere and I feel it now. Let the winds of hatred blow. Spread the face of fear. Take common ground in division you confide. Feed the atmosphere, hate magnified. Who do we think that sounds a bit like, Dave?
I don't know. This person is tremendously extra. It's not me. I know that. I don't know who it is.
It's fake news.
It's fake news. I think it's pretty obvious.
Obviously, you know, allusions to that sort of that political styling bit, Trump, Scott Morrison, whoever it happens to be. Yep. There's definitely that sort of idea of, you know, and then the next line was like, and sworn enemies align for a fucking vote. So, you know, basically, you know, sort of, you know, the enemy of my enemy sort of thing, you know.
Absolutely. I think this is one of my least favorite tracks on the album, personally.
Really? Why is that?
I don't know. It just didn't sit very well with me. I love the lyrics. They're great. It's definitely one of the heavier tracks on the album. But I don't know. It just didn't gel with me. I don't know why. I just wasn't a huge fan of it, though I love the concept behind it. I think one of the reasons it didn't gel very well with me was because of that aforementioned lack of gain, lack of, you know, real heaviness to the album, real heavy guitars and so on and so forth. I think this track and the next one, Behind the Seal, really needed that. So it just sort of felt a little out of place, for me anyway. Notwithstanding that, it's a fantastic track, it's fantastically written. Just would be nice to see them, you know, take the gain from 2 to maybe 6 or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not quite sure what you mean by gain. Maybe you can explain that a bit more for, like, give us an example of, like, you know, we've got this guitar tone. What sort of what other person or band would guitar tone are you thinking of when you say more gain?
If you think of a little bit more gain, think of the stuff like what Polaris do with their, you know, chuggy kind of stuff, or even, you know, Petrucci's rhythm tone and things like that. You know, a bit more distortion. It's not distortion. It's gain. A bit more hair on the notes, if you want to put it that way. Just would have, I think, served the song a little nicer.
Okay, fair enough.
It's hard to describe it to you without pulling my guitar out and showing you. Yeah. And considering there's other people in the house that are still asleep.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But I think it was a great track. Behind the Seal, similar kind of thing. Very interesting track lyrically and so on and so forth. But again, we see that lack of gain really sticking out on the guitars with the screaming over the top. It really works with the singing, and it works when the full band comes in and there's other stuff behind it and layers and all that kind of stuff. But with the screaming over the top, I don't know if it really works all that well. It will probably work in a live setting because, as I mentioned before, tones are different when you play live to when you have it on a studio album. But lyrically, Behind the Seal is a great track. And there's also a great guitar solo in this one. Pog guitar solos are always badass with like the harmonizers and the octavas and all that kind of stuff. They're a hell of a lot of fun. Is this track also about Trump?
Probably. I mean, appear your image, parading empathy, veneer concealing what lies beneath the seams, revealed, uncovered, erupting clarity, your deeds discovered, self-centered savagery. It certainly sounds like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be unaware, a whole bunch of anyone.
It could be. And then you move on. Well, it could be a little bit more developed than that. It's like unaware or unaccepting. This ignorance is only growing. Laissez-faire, class domination, on a trail to ashes we wander. So... You know, the class dominance. So again, we're talking wealth inequality. We're talking sort of a rural anti-ultra capitalist message. I'm saying here, you know, like the ultra capitalists, where you've got what is it? The 1% hold like 50% of the money now, or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking against that. So here we have three politically themed songs, one after the other, on the record, but all quite different from one another. In terms of the, and False Flags is quite aggressive. Dead Rivers Flow has a tone of desperation to it, and Behind the Seal just mixes this unrestrained anger with the cleaner sections, which are more intelligent, sort of matter of fact explanations about the situation.
Absolutely. There are obviously three different points on I think a very similar theme.
Yeah, it'd be really easy just to make three incredibly aggressive, angry songs about politics. I mean, that would not be particularly difficult to do, but to change the tone of it and make it more about desperation or sort of more an intelligent, matter-of-fact kind of explanation of a situation.
Absolutely.
Makes it a bit – it sort of brings it into a different place because we all know, like, angry political songs. I mean, they're everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
NWA, from everything from like NWA's Fuck the Police to like Rage Against the Machine's Balls on the Parade sort of thing. Yeah, it's easier to be angry, I guess, but it's more difficult to mix in those different tones of discussion about political things.
Absolutely. It's easy to be angry. It's very hard to have something to say that's worthwhile.
Yes, exactly.
So
we move on to the next song, The Key. What do you think of this one, Dave?
We're back into the groovy, bouncy kind of prog these guys do so well. And, well, most Australian prog bands seem to do so very, very well. It's a really, really great track. The halftime bit at the end is really, really great. And I imagine this track will just sound monstrous live. I really, really enjoyed it. Again, this is the difference between that cleaner style of guitars working with singing vocals and it not working so well with growly vocals. I actually really enjoyed it. What do you think?
I really enjoyed this song. I mean, I particularly like the line, "Not giving to you is stealing from me."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably sums up the attitude this world needs right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that idea that, you know, sort of people think about it, you know, it's that old joke, isn't it? You know, there's like one of the 1%, a middle class man and a poor man sitting in a room with 20 cookies on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
The rich 1% guy takes 17 cookies off the plate, then turns to the guy in the middle class and says, "Quick, get in yours before he steals that one."
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think that's very much the world that we're living in at the moment. And these guys definitely have mentioned that quite clearly, I think, across this whole album, which is great. Totally. It's doing very, very, very well. And yeah, I agree with you. That's a That's a great way of putting it. What I like is when you put that particular quote of that song in the line of the whole stanza, where you've got, "We hold the key to salvation like a noose around our necks. The truth is blinding. So stare into the comfort of this masquerade. Not giving to you is stealing from me, clouding the world with this misery."
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When you put it in that context, it definitely, it brings the weight to it, I think.
Absolutely. It's basically saying we have the ability to be free to do what we want, but we've got to leave the comfort well behind.
Comfort for some anyway, I think. Definitely comfort for some.
Yeah, it's, but like, you got to remember that the comfort is sold to a lot of people who are underprivileged and so forth, particularly in the United States, but it happens here as well. It's happening more and more here, which is really alarming, where, you know, oh, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and if you work hard, you can make lots of money and you can be as rich as Gina Reinhart. No, you can't.
There's, you know, that, and also as well, there's this sort of pervading theory that people are making more money now underneath these right-wing governments, be it the one here or the one in America or whatever. Like, life is better. People are making more money. And it's like, A, I don't think so. And B, yeah, you might be, but at the expense of what?
That's right.
There are, at the expense of a couple of things, at the expense of everybody else and at the expense of the environment.
Absolutely.
Because, unfortunately, large portions of our economy are still predicated on burning shit.
Particularly in Sydney or in Australia, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, burning shit, burning fuels, burning coal, you know, shipping raw resources out of this country to be developed elsewhere, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, so second to last track, the penultimate track, if you will. What did you think of this one? It was a little short, instrumental-y kind of one.
Yeah, it was just a real short instrumental passage and real nice, again, nice little change of pace before we set up into the big sort of song at the end, Into the Now. It's just a nice little sort of breathing space between the song and then this big one at the end. So
Absolutely. For me, it was reminiscent of Above and Beyond and some of their instrumental passage tracks that they do. They're really, really, really nice. It also reminded me a little bit of the end of, I think it's Reptile by Periphery. That song is like 15 minutes and it's an assault on the audio senses for a good part of that 15 minutes. But there's like this last 2 minutes or a minute 30 where it's like this kind of synthy kind of thing going on at the end, and it's really, really, really lovely. And I'd love to see them actually take that and make an EDM track out of it, because I think it would be sick as shit. And yeah, that's kind of what this reminded me of. But it was a great breather before we got into the last track, which is 8 minutes long.
Yeah, so the last song on the record, Into the Now, I mean, I'm just going to read a lyric out to you here. "Streams will combine to flood a desert shore. A breeze blows into a thunderstorm. Spreading disease from just a single pore. Grow the addiction to white noise."
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that lyric was written before all this COVID-19 situation, that is remarkably prophetic, and we can add that to the list of other remarkably prophetic prog records that have come out this year.
Yep.
I suspect, on the other hand, it probably wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I suspect it probably wasn't, just given when this album came out and so on and so forth. It was probably blown up, written afterwards. But I think what it's really saying here, I think just pulling the lyrics apart a little bit, streams will combine to flood a desert shore, right? So, you know, streams being, you know, tiny little trickles of creek and so on and so forth, the idea of millions of them coming together to flood what would never be flooded, you know what I mean? A breeze just sort of picks up a little bit. It picks up a little bit. Eventually it blows to a thunderstorm, you know, thunderstorms being quite destructive and so on and so forth. Spreading disease from just a single spore. I mean, yes, we've know what's happened this year and so on and so forth. They don't need to explain pandemics to people. And then grow the addiction to white noise. Now, the last part of that I'm not sure about, but I think the other three are talking about power and numbers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it leads on, actually, because if you go on with the lyrics, it'll grow the addiction to white noise. Keep holding on. Relief appears. And then in a moment, it is long gone. Seek distraction to farewell another day. So that sounds like sort of a commentary on, you know, just sort of mass media, social media, just Instagram, like the next culture thing. Yeah, exactly. Just like the next thing to scroll by on to keep filling up the time, sort of thing. I think, like, the overall message to this lyric, and it's a great one to end the record on, it's like, well, what do we leave? It's sort of like, what are we leaving for the next generation? There's this, and then the last lines of the song, it's like, you know who we are, where we've been, what we've missed. So it's like, I think this idea of sort of like, well, this is where we are now, and this is where we could be going in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a lot of, I think there's a lot of themes throughout this entire record that go through a lot of that. You know, as you say, what are we leaving behind? You know, there's definitely a lot of talk about, can we just stop putting up with this bullshit? You know, eat the rich. As I know you're quite prone to talking about, you know, and stop the wars and stop the bullshit and just get on with this and try and fix this fuck up that we've created as humans. You know, it's definitely, I think it's going to be one of those, I think this is going to be one of those albums that's going to be very much talking about the next 10 years. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be, you know, one of those albums which will define this next decade.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, to kind of summarize this record, I mean, there's sort of three key elements running through this record. There's like the elements of like environmentalism, climate change sort of thing, political upheaval, and the scars of war and the scars of what we're leaving behind as a society, really, and what we're leaving to the next generation. You know, it's an incredibly powerful message, and it's backed by excellent progressive metal. I can never have enough nice things to say about this band. Yes, I'm biased. They're hometown boys for me, but it's still a great band.
They are a great band.
They're making excellent progressive metal. You know, if you're a fan of, like, I don't know, I'm just looking, if you're a fan of like Opeth or a fan of, let's say, Lepros, or even a fan of just any of the other sort of big titans of Australian progressive metal, Carnival, Caligula's Horse, even if you're like a Haken fan, you probably will enjoy this record. Sure, the growling might put some people off, but as I think I gave a one sentence review to my wife about this record before I played it for her, it's like, imagine if Opeth did growl again.
Yeah.
It's sort of but it's not quite, it's not a straight Opeth thing. No. There's definitely elements of a whole, you know, hardcore progressive metal melodic things mixed in as well.
Oh, for sure.
But it's definitely, if you're a fan of any of those bands I've just mentioned, you should definitely check this record out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is excellent. It is fantastic. As I mentioned, would have liked to see the gain been turned up just a little bit. But, you know, particularly in particular songs and tracks and so on and so forth. But otherwise, sensational album, two thumbs up. Definitely. I mean, we're in the 10th month now. We're nearly into November here at time of recording. Did I not say that this year was going to be the year of prog?
Yeah. Too bad it became the whole year. Too bad it became the year of a whole bunch of other shit as well.
Yeah, true. True. Bang on. Awesome. Well, I think that about wraps up our review of that album, and I think that brings us to our weekly album reviews.
So the record that I gave to you, Dave, was a record by a Bulgarian band, Mental Architects, called Celebrations. What did you think of this one?
Look, math rock has never been really my thing, or as they call it on this, meth rock. 10 points on that, by the way.
Meth rock? Good grief.
They've got a track called Meth Rock on this album.
Okay.
And look, Caves of Keys was really, really cool. It was using, you know, that dotted eighth delay thing to do stuff. This sort of stuff is not my kettle of fish. It was definitely worth a listen, though, because it was actually really well put together. You know, sonically, the album sat extremely well. You know, it was a good album to listen to. Would I necessarily go and listen to it again? Probably not. But it's definitely worth at least one or two listens if you like this sort of stuff. Even if you don't, it's not a bad album. I would have liked to have seen a little bit less tremolo picking from them. But beyond that, yeah, it was good. It was a thumb up, definite recommendation. Have a listen to it. But if you're not a fan of this sort of style of music, don't worry too much about it. Just have a listen to it. What did you think of the album that I gave you, which was Methodica Clockworks?
It's somewhere between like a mid-90s Queensryche. There's a bit of Dream Theater in there. There's a bit of Queensryche in there. When I was playing this for my wife, she said this sounds a lot like Threshold. I liked it. I don't necessarily think I'd go back to it because it was a couple of things in there where it was just like, it just kind of sounds a bit dated. And it sounds terrible to say, but it's nice. If you like I know there are some Dream Theater fans out there who don't like the modern Dream Theater because they think it's too much of like a shred fest. Mm-hmm. So if you're one of those people, maybe this record is for you. Yeah, there's a little bit some more of a melodic kind of thing and a little bit less. I mean, there's still some great, you know, guitar solos in there and some great progressive moments, but it's not a complete shred fest.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would go for this record. So I'd give this one a thumbs up.
Good. Well, we both had single thumbs up this week, which is
indeed,
which is great. Now,
for this week, for you, I have a record that's slightly out of left field.
Ooh, I always like these ones because I never quite know exactly what's going to happen.
So the record that you're getting this week is a record by the electronic duo Ortaca. They have put a new record out called Sign. I'd be very interested to hear what you think of this record.
Okay, all right. I will check.
It has proven itself to be rather controversial amongst the fan base for some reason.
Ooh,
and I'd be interested to see what you think of it.
All right, no worries. I will check that one out.
So what have you got for me?
So this week I have a band from the United States who've just released their latest album called Figureheads. The band is called Theo. They do have a band camp, so I'll put the little link there in the show notes for you. Love to hear what you think of this album.
All righty.
Awesome.
I will check that out and see what you've given me. So I think that about wraps it up for this week here on the 9-8 podcast. If you would like to find the show notes for this episode, you could find it at the 9-8 podcast.fireside.fm/64. You can find us at Twitter at 98FM. You can also find us on our Facebook page, which we will put a link to in the show notes. And as always, if you have any feedback for this episode, any new music that you think we should be checking out that we're not talking about here, feel free to drop us an email. You can find the link for that on our website at the 98podcast.fireside.fm/contact.
Absolutely. As always, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you are staying safe and well where you are. Don't forget to check us out at Drop That Stylus. We'll put a link in the show notes to their podcast when we are, you know, live on that one. And we'd love to see you on our Facebook page saying hello and interacting with some of the stuff that we are posting there. We do post reasonably regularly. And we've got some great fans already jumping on there from around the world. So until next time, my name is Dave Ellis.
My name is Alex Hogg. Thank you very much. We'll see you all next time.
See you then. Stay safe.